This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa man istanna bi sunnatihi ila yawmiddin. Allahumma ja'alna minhum, wa min alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat, wa tawasaw bil haqqi, wa tawasaw bil sabr. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Wallahu latifun bi'ibadihi yarzuqu man yasha' wa huwa al-qawiyyul aziz. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Amin ya rabbal alamin. I want to share with you today, inshallah, some things about a name of Allah, actually two names of Allah that are paired together that he mentions often. And before I do, I want to highlight that Allah rarely mentions lessons that are specific for children to learn, meaning things that Muslim kids should know from the very early age that will help shape their personality. You know, there are lots of things we learn about Allah Azza wa Jal. We learn that Allah Azza wa Jal has many names and many attributes, and Allah does many, many things. But of those, certain things even a child needs to know about Allah. And some things a child, it's too early for a child to know at a certain age. I'll give you an example of what is too early for a child to know. You see, in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal describes that He destroyed, I mentioned this in yesterday's session, He destroyed the nation of Nuh. He destroyed the nation of Lut. He destroyed the nation of Salih. He destroyed the nation of Shu'aib. All of these are mentioned in the Quran, that Allah Azza wa Jal is Azizun, He dhuntiqam, that He can punish, that He is, you know, dhul quwwatil matin, He's mighty. And he avenges his messengers, and he punishes those who do wrong. And this is something that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made clear in the Quran. Now, for children, sometimes we say maybe we should teach our children stories of the prophets, right? But here's a small issue with that. If the first thing a child learns about Allah Azza wa Jalla is that Allah flooded this nation, and He gave this nation an earthquake, and this nation got destroyed by the fire from the sky, and this nation got wind, and these people died. In their mind, they associate prophets, and they associate Allah Azza wa Jal with destruction and punishment. A child is not smart enough to understand the difference. So a child is going to hear the story of Nuh, and he's going to say, oh, which one is that? Is that the flood one? Or which one is that the earthquake one? Or which? How did Allah kill those ones? So in their mind, whether we think we're doing something good, we're teaching them stories of the prophets, alayhimu salatu wasalam, where they're learning about the messengers, they're learning about Allah, that's a good thing. But here's the challenge, there's age appropriateness. There's an age appropriateness. You see, think about it from this point of view. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the stories of these prophets in Mecca, most of them. When the prophet was where? In Mecca, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And in Mecca, he was dealing with Quraysh. And the Quraysh were acting like Fir'aun. And the Quraysh were acting like the people of Nuh. And the Quraysh were acting like the people of Salih and the people of Shu'aib. So Allah gave them these stories to tell them, you are behaving like these people. You know, فَإِن كَذَّبُكَ فَقَدْ كُذِّبَ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. You know, if they're calling you a liar, other messengers were called liars before you, and here are their stories. So the point of giving those stories was, you are heading down the same path of destruction as these other nations, don't go down that road. Our children are definitely not like the Quraysh. They're not heading down the path of destruction. So they don't need the warning and the threat at that early age. As a matter of fact, children are creatures of Jannah. And a creature of Jannah doesn't need to be given the fear of Allah. They need to be given the love of Allah, an appreciation of Allah, gratitude to Allah, awareness of Allah, but not the fear of Allah. And what we do with our children so many times when we introduce them to Allah is the first thing we teach them is how to fear Allah. And that's unfair to a child. You know, Allah decides how long somebody's life is. When you go to the graveyard, sometimes you find a grave, it says, you know, born this year, right? So born 1903 to 1957, or 1986 to 2013, or whatever else. And sometimes you find born 2018, died 2019. Sometimes you see born 2010, died 2019, 8 years old, 6 years old, 5 years old. Those children, when they die, there's no questioning for them. These are creatures of heaven. They had no reason to fear Allah because Allah made them on the fitrah. And they were not questionable yet. They hadn't reached the age where Allah will question them for their behavior yet. So if Allah won't even scare them yet, why are we scaring them? You understand? So, and if we do that early on, then they get a distorted picture of who Allah Azza wa Jal is. That Allah is a punisher. And sometimes parents do very destructive things. Sometimes parents say things like, don't eat those cookies, Allah will be very angry.
I can guarantee you Allah will not be angry, you will be angry. And when judgment day comes, Allah will not ask that child, why did you eat those cookies? It made me, that's not going to happen. But you know what, that's commonly parents do this very easily. Allah will be very upset, be afraid of Allah. You know, it's okay to say, I'll be upset. You don't have to drag Allah into it. And we don't control Allah's anger. We're not in charge of deciding who Allah is angry with and who Allah is merciful with. We shouldn't be doing that in any conversation anyway. Not with anyone, especially not with our children. But one of the names, that the name that I wanted to talk to you about today, that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions especially when Luqman was teaching his young son, a boy. He was teaching him about Allah. So this is a passage in the Quran where a man is teaching his young son about Allah. And he says that, you know, Allah had given Luqman wisdom. Luqman was given wisdom to teach, to learn for himself, and he used that wisdom to teach a child. And by the way, part of wisdom is learning what to say and when to say it. A wise person will say, well, first, who am I talking to? What is the occasion? Is this the right thing to say at this time? Maybe this can wait a little bit later on. You understand? So the fact that Allah says he spoke to his young child, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, when he told his young child things about Allah, part of that was the names of Allah, Inna Allaha latifun khabir. Allah is latif and Allah is khabir. These two names come in the Quran together multiple times. The word latif is two things. The word latif means something very delicate, something almost invisible. You don't even know that it's there, but it's always there. Like the air in this room right now is an Arabic example of what is latif. We don't think about it. It's there. It's playing a role. All of our lungs need it. It's present and it's playing a role, but we don't think about it. It's not consciously something we're aware of, you see? So that would be latif. The rays of light that you're able to see me with, the photons that are invisible, they're here in this room making vision available, accessible, but they're actually latif. They're subtle, they're barely noticeable, and we don't even think about it, that their presence is there and they're doing something. You understand? The blood flowing in my veins currently is also latif. Allah describes himself as latif. What that means is, Allah is always present, Allah is always doing something for you and me, but we pretty much never notice. We never notice. Allah is doing something for the one who forgets about him. His heart is also beating because Allah is latif with him. They don't realize it. The one who is disobeying Allah, the one who is betraying Allah, the one who is angering Allah, all of them, yet Allah is still taking care of them. Their lungs still expand and contract with every breath because Allah is latif with them. And the other meaning of latif is kind. The other meaning is kind. So there's two things. Allah is doing something in a very subtle, very delicate, very unnoticeable way. And at the same time, whatever he's doing is driven by kindness, by gentleness. So he's being gentle with us and he's being kind with us. But there's the other side of latif too. The other side of latif is, if something is happening, you know, if something bad happens in your life, almost immediately any human being says, where was Allah when that happened? Why didn't Allah help me? Why did I have to go through this? Why did my child have to get sick? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why do I have to have this diagnosis? Or why did I have to lose my job? And so in those moments, we feel like Allah wasn't there. And Allah says, I was still there. And I was still latif. He's always latif. He's always watching. He's always present and actually actively helping. Actively doing something for you. But he adds the name khabir. They come together in the Quran multiple times. Latifun, khabir. What that means is we have to look at these two names together. Khabir in Arabic means someone who knows what you're doing from experience. You know, it's one thing that somebody, you know someone, you've met with them, you've talked to them, you've done business with them, you have experience with them, and when you say, I know this person, then you say, I'm khabir of him. Because you have experience with them, direct experience. But if you heard about somebody, you read about somebody, you watch somebody from a distance, you could be alim, you know about them, but you're not khabir. You're not khabir because you don't have direct experience. Allah Azza wa Jal describes himself as latif, and at the same time, khabir, meaning he's subtle and he's kind and he has direct experience of you and with you. He has direct knowledge of you. He's immediate knowledge of you. Now let me put that in human terms. And before I do, I'll take 2 minutes to explain a very important concept. Allah's names, like Latif, like Khabir, like Alim, like Sami', these names can also be used for human beings. A person who listens very well can also be called Sami'. A person who is gentle can also be called what? Latif. A person who's experienced can also be called Khabir. As a matter of fact, Allah's name Rahim is in the Quran also used for the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُفُ الرَّحِيمِ. So these names of Allah, the word is sometimes also used for human beings. But there has to be a difference, doesn't it? So what is the difference between when the same word is being used for Allah and the same word is being used for a human being? And then we'll come back to Latif Khabir quickly. Remember three differences. The first difference is, let's just take one example, the one who sees, Basir. Basir means the one who sees. And Yaqub alayhi salam, when his vision came back, Ya'ti basira, he can see again. The same word is used for Yaqub alayhi salam, and the same word is used for Allah azza wa jal. Yeah, so, but what's the difference? When Allah is seeing, his seeing has no beginning and no end. There was no point ever where he was not basir, and there will be never a point where he will not be basir. But any human being, they were not always basir. They were not always seeing. There had to be a time where it started, and there will be a time where it will come to an end. Ours has a beginning and an end. Allah's has no beginning and no end. That's the first difference. The second difference is ours has a limit. If I can see, I cannot see on the other side of this wall. If I can see you, I can't see inside your heart. I can't see inside your thoughts. I can't see the past and I can't see the future. My vision has limits. Allah's vision has no limits. That's the second difference. So even if the same word is being used, if you're aware of these differences, you'll be clear that we are not talking about the same thing. The third difference. So the first one was no beginning, no end. The second one is no limits. No limits. And the third difference is my ability to see, my power to see is not actually mine. It was given to me. It doesn't belong to me. But Allah's seeing was not given to him. It is his to begin with. So because it is not mine, it can be taken away. But Allah's will never be taken away because it originally belongs to him. Now, even though there are these three differences, Allah chose in his wisdom to use the same word, didn't he? He didn't use a different word for him and a different word for us. Why? Because first he wants us to understand how we use these words for human beings. How do we use these words for human beings? And then when we think about how we use these words for human beings, then we compare them to infinitely more powerfully how we are supposed to use them for Allah Azza wa Jal. So we can appreciate how far above Allah is from his creation. So let's think about Latif and Khabir for a moment when we use it for ourselves. You see, for example, I'll give the example of my child. If my child is misbehaving in front of me, that's not a time for me to be Latif. I'm not going to be subtle and my guidance is going to be invisible and I won't even let him see that I'm upset. And because I saw it in front of my own eyes, it's happening in front of me. He's breaking the plate on the table in front of me. I'm Khabir, I have experience of what he's doing right now. The moment I'm Khabir, I will act right away. Hey, don't do that. And when I stop him, I'm not being Latif anymore, am I? Latif means that I'm acting in a very invisible way, in a very subtle, unnoticed kind of way. Human beings, when they experience something, they want to get involved directly. And human beings, when they have khibra or become khabir of something, they expect someone to get involved immediately. Like when there's an emergency, you want to call the police. You want action right away. But Allah says he's khabir, but even though he's khabir, he's what? He's Latif. And that makes a person confused. Something's happening, why isn't Allah stopping it? Something's happening, why isn't Allah intervening? Because Allah isn't just khabir. That's it. If Allah knows, he knows everything that's happening. He knows these people are doing bad things. Why doesn't he just stop them? Why doesn't he just get rid of the problem? Because he is Latif. Then the question becomes, why in the world is he Latif? What is some ulama thought about the word Latif? And what is Allah telling us when he is Latif, that he's gentle and he's subtle and he's delicate? What is he actually telling us? Their extrapolation from the Quran is as follows. In simple words, Allah will make you go through some very difficult experiences and you will not be able to see what good can possibly come from it. You will not be seeing what good comes from it. But Allah is fully aware that whatever experiences you're going through is actually good for you. That's still an act of kindness. Your sickness is still an act of kindness. Your terrible experience is still an act of kindness. If somebody humiliated you, that's still an act of kindness. If you were betrayed, that's still an act of kindness. Not from them, but still from Allah. There's something good in it for you. There's something good in it for you that you cannot understand. There's something happening behind the scenes that we don't know. You know, it's simple to understand nowadays because we have technology. You have all these apps on your phone and everything else, and the apps have a very simple graphic design. You just tap a button and you go wherever you need to go. But behind the app, there's a source code, isn't it? And that source code is developed by programmers. And those, when you read that, you can't understand it. That's complicated code. The same way, this world is the outside, the skin of the app. It's the outwardly. But behind that is an elaborate code from Allah. It's an elaborate formula, which we are not able to understand. All Allah is saying is, trust me, I'm there, and I'm still kind, and I'm still gentle with you. Yusuf alayhi salam, after many years, when he was reunited with his family, when he was finally reunited with his family, you know what he told his family? My brothers, shaitan got between me and my brothers, and all of this happened. He said, "Inna Rabbi latifun lima yasha." My master has always been very subtle and very delicate with whatever he wants. Now, this is the last thing I'll share with you to help you get this point across, and then tell you what Allah is with, why, how is he latif with us. Yusuf alayhi salam says, Allah has always been kind and always been basically invisible, a hidden hand. You know how the Christians say God works in mysterious ways, right? That's basically the equivalent in the Quran of the word latif. The mysterious ways in which Allah is always present in our lives. That's what Yusuf alayhi salam says. Why? Because otherwise, how can you understand a child got kidnapped? Why would God do that? Why would a child be taken away and thrown in the middle of the woods in a ditch? Why would a child be sold into slavery in a marketplace like a goat? Why would a child be taken away from his loving father? What did he ever do wrong? And he's now working as a servant in some crazy lady's house. Why would a young innocent man get accused even though he didn't do anything wrong and get thrown in jail even after he was proven innocent? Even then he goes into jail. What is his fault in all of this? Where's God in all of this? Why is he living so many lives surrounded by criminals inside a dungeon in a prison? So many catastrophes, one after the other after the other. If anyone has a life like Yusuf, they would say, I don't know if I believe in God, because if he was there, I don't know if I would have gone through all this. And he says, at the end of all of those experiences, Allah has been very subtle and delicate. If I didn't have faith in Allah, I would think he's not there. It's almost invisible, his role in my life. Every one of those experiences was necessary. Every one of them was necessary. Think about it. Even to this day, the greatest wealth you and I can have, the greatest wealth you and I can have before Allah is good deeds. To this day, we learn from the disasters of Yusuf alayhi salam's life. And every time somebody learns from them and changes something in their life, who gets the reward? He does, and his family does. And when he came out of the prison and interpreted the dream, thousands upon thousands of children were saved from starving to death. If he never went to jail, he would have never interpreted a dream. None of that would have happened. One family lost a child for several years. Yes, it was a tragedy. But so many children were not separated from their parents by death because of Yusuf being in jail. Because of that, Allah is latif. Allah has a plan. And because of Allah, he recognized Allah's plan. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ لِمَا يَشَاءُ. So, but that's for the, and somebody could say, yes, Allah is latif for prophets. That's nice, but they were prophets. That's why Allah is latif with them. What's he going to do for me? How is he latif for me? I'm not even that good of a person. I need Allah to be latif too. So do I get that? And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَاللَّهُ لَطِيفٌ بِعِبَادِهِ. Allah is latif with all of his servants. Allah is latif with all of his servants. And then he says, listen to this carefully, يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He provides whoever he wants. He provides whoever he wants. And this is important. Sometimes he will hold rizq from you. Something you want in life, he won't let you have it. And that's him holding it back and you being deprived is also rizq. That's also rizq. And when he gives you, that's also rizq. When you get what you want, that's also rizq. When you don't get what you want, that's also rizq. That's from Allah too. And when you get what you want, you can feel the presence of Allah. When you don't get what you want, you need to understand that Allah is being what? Latif. That's the difference. You see, when you get a proposition, Allah is raziq. When a child gets a present at Eid, Allah is raziq. You know, when you have food in front of you, alhamdulillah, you know, this is the one who provided us rizq, has given us rizq, you know. But when you don't have food in front of you, when you don't have the opportunity, when there's deprivation, when there's starvation, when there's, you know, loss, then you don't see Allah as Raziq, but you will still see Allah as Latifun Khabir. He knows exactly what you're going through, and He is there anyway. The last thing about this. You know, when someone takes care of you, someone says to you, like your wife says to you, I will always take care of you. I will always be right next to you. That sounds great on the first day you got married. But if she was always right next to you all the time, or the husband was always right next to the wife 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he said, what are you doing? Where are you going? Are you sitting? I'm going to sit next to you. What are you doing? Who are you talking to? Can I see what you're talking to? Let me see your phone. Let me look. When somebody's with you all the time, remember I told you I'll always be with you? I'm just keeping my promise. When that over time, what happens to you? Can I get some space? I just wanna play with, you know, play some football, or I just wanna talk to my friends for a little bit. Can I be in the conversation? No, I just wanna do this by myself. But I thought you always want me to be there all the time. You know what? Allah made human beings in a way that we can't be in the presence of the one we love all the time. That's just how He made us. We can't do it. We are in Allah's conscious presence when we're in the masjid, yes or no? Yes. But when you're at a party, Eid iftar, or iftar in Ramadan, and you're enjoying a meal with some friends, and you're thinking about the chicken that's about to be, you're about to be unleashed on that chicken, you're maybe, at that time, maybe some people are doing dua, other people are doing dua that Maghrib comes sooner. Like, you know, but at that time, you may not be in the close spiritual presence of Allah, isn't it? But that's not a crime. Allah is not imposing Himself on you in every situation, is He? You know, there are times where you're not thinking about Allah. You're thinking about getting something for your mother, or you're thinking about school, or you're thinking about your kids, or you're thinking about work, and so Allah takes a step back from you. As if He's not imposing, don't do dhikr right now. Okay, you have to do work right now. You have a business meeting right now. You have an exam right now. But so what does Allah do? Allah becomes latif in your life. Allah becomes latif. He becomes invisible, subtle. He's still there. He's still taking care of you. And He doesn't impose Himself. He doesn't become qahar on you all the time. You know, dominant on you all the time. Why aren't you doing dhikr right now? And some people think that Allah wants that from them. Allah wants them to remember Him all the time in every circumstance. That is not the case. Because Allah's mercy on His slaves is that He is latif. So that they can live their life. They can appreciate good things. And they can remember that Allah, even when they, of course, at the end of an experience like that, you know, for example, when a young man's getting married, I'm pretty sure he's not doing dhikr. Unless he's being forced to get married, then he's probably doing a lot of dhikr, but but that's not the time to, because he's thinking about, whoa. You know, and at that point, Allah is what for him? Latif for him. You know, and even when the imam comes and give a khutbah about ya ayyuhal, you know, ayyuhal nas, ittaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida wa khalaqa minha, the imam is giving khutbah about taqwa at the nikah ceremony. Yeah, everybody else has taqwa right now, and he might get some, but he's, you know, his heart is somewhere else right now. His brain is somewhere else right now. The reminder is nice, you know, but and other people may not be thinking too much about taqwa at the moment. Maybe think, when are they going to serve the meal? When are we going to get the food? You know. And that is actually a mercy of Allah, that He's not an overbearing God. He's not an overbearing master. He did not impose on us what we couldn't bear. So He allowed us to live in this life and says, جَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَايِشْ. He made in this world means by which you can live well, you can enjoy your lives. And in those moments, Allah becomes what for us? Latif. And He knows that we need those experiences too. Sometimes we need the break. If you can't pray all night, you can't. And sometimes you're praying and you need it, you take a little break. I know myself, I study Quran and I have limited attention span. I studied 40, 45 minutes, 50 minutes, and then my brain checks out. Even when I'm talking to one of my colleague friends like Sheikh Suhaib Saeed, we're discussing tafsir and I tell him, listen, my switch turned off. I'm just going to go eat a banana or play some basketball. I'm going to do something, recharge. Because right now I need to step back and reboot myself. And that's a human condition. We can't always be in Allah's presence. But Allah is always present for us. That's Allah being latif. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us grateful for Allah Azza wa Jal being latif in our lives. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim.